Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Sunday evening planning. You know you do it, now here's how. Here we go. So there are a lot of people who dread Sunday evening because they feel like they only have a day and a half of a weekend.
Yeah.
I'd never thought that, but I like Monday. Monday's my favorite day of the week. If somebody doesn't want to go to work on Monday, they probably should be checking out Career Tools Transition podcast.
Indeed.
Right?
For a new job.
But if you're going to go to work, if you're going to be professional, then you ought to commit to being effective. And if you're going to be effective, you probably need to spend 30, 45 minutes Sunday night getting ready for the week, simply so that you can feel like you're having, at least in part, so you can feel like you're not in control, but you're influencing the week rather than the week influencing you.
Absolutely. And if you tell yourself it's only going to take 30 or 45 minutes and you set a timer, it will only take that long. Instead of thinking about it at 8 o'clock and finishing at 10 and feeling like you spent a whole evening going
out. Yeah, the whole evening thing is dumb, right? We'll talk about family. But Horstmann's corollary to Parkinson's law is work contracts to fill the time you give it. Mm-hmm. And if you only give it 30 or 45 minutes, you start out at 45 and then you whittle it down to 30.
Yeah.
And then, by gosh, don't be on your phone all the time. But anyway, okay. So, what are we going to talk about?
I say, one, put your family on your calendar first.
I think we've talked about that before.
We have. Yeah. And 1A is consult your spouse.
Yeah.
2 is then add your big balls. 3 is consider if what's planned is still needed. And 4 is write a high-level to-do list.
Yeah, I like number 4. In part, though, I like the to-do list assigned to certain times. That helps me, but we'll talk about that. Okay, family on your calendar first.
Yeah, as if anybody would think that we would say anything other since it's one of our major themes.
I've been talking for the last couple of years about the whole misguidedness of the idea of work-family balance, because the idea of balance is people think of a balance or a scales or a teeter-totter or what's the other thing? It's a teeter-totter or a seesaw.
Seesaw.
Depending upon where you grew up. And it's really just a fulcrum and a couple of levers, right? It's an Archimedic kind of thing. And the idea is the moment you give one to one side, you impact the other side. Mm-hmm. It's a zero-sum game, essentially. Whereas we believe in the yellow peanut M&M and the sun, which is to say that the sun and the yellow peanut M&M are both yellow and round, but don't confuse one with the other. Work is the yellow peanut M&M, and the sun is your family. And those two things are never going to be in balance. And stop trying to balance them and put your family first and wall off time that will be for your family. And don't include time that's sleeping in your family's time.
Yeah, they didn't appreciate them.
Yeah.
There are times when things get hectic or your boss is a jerk or for some reason you can't leave to go to whatever it is you want to go to, your the play or the summer
recital,
races,
Little
all
League
those
game.
Kind of things.
Yeah.
But if you start planning your weeks and months ahead of time, instead of going to your boss and saying, on Wednesday, I need to leave early because my little boy is playing in a Little League game, if you've planned on Sunday and you go in Monday morning and say, boss, I'd really like to leave early on Wednesday because my son is playing a Little League game and here's what I've planned to cover it. Here's the hours that I'm going to make up for it if you need to. Here's what's going to happen. He's much more likely to say yes.
Yes. And if you think your boss is checking your calendar a week in advance to see what you have on your calendar, you're crazy. That's not happening. What's more, if you think that leaving it off the calendar is a good idea, that's also crazy. Yeah. But it has to be on your calendar, and then you have to go ask. And look, I remember my brother Walt one day sent me something about bad management years ago. And he said, one of the things was, please give me work really late in the day, right? That's helpful to me. You can't know whether or not your boss is going to come to you at 3:30. You haven't told her that you want to go to a Little League game. You've kept it off the books, but you worked longer on Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you're thinking you earn it, which is probably fair. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Now, if you're an hourly worker, that's slightly different. Yeah. But if you're not, it's okay probably to leave early. I used to coach Little League for my kids, and you can make it work. And if you don't communicate with anybody and your boss comes to you at 3:30 and says, I really need you, what are you going to say? You're probably going to get a look of, oh, I was planning on going to the Little League game. Now the boss feels guilty,
yeah.
But the boss needs the work done. He or she's going to override the guilt, going to give you the work, then you're going to be ticked at your boss. And it was all preventable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All preventable.
And the other thing that people try to do, which really bugs me, is they escape. So like they'll leave stuff on their desk and their coat on the chair and they disappear. And so the boss comes along and says to one of your colleagues, "Hey, where's Bob?" And nobody wants to say, "Well, actually, he went to the Little League game and you think he's here and he isn't." That's really not fair.
Yeah, I think George Costanza on Seinfeld used to leave his coat on the chair to imply, or left a car in the parking lot to imply that he's working long hours. Guys, just be candid about it. Put your family first, have some guts and say, "No, I want to do this and I want your approval." Now look, if your boss says no all the time and you want to do that for your kids, that's reasonable. Again, start looking for another job.
Yeah. The other reason for putting family events on your calendar, even if your boss or your company or for whatever reason you can't leave, it reminds you that your family is there. When you're working, your family still exists and, you know, they still love you. Even if you lose this job is not that important.
Right.
And if you get the reminder on your calendar, you can remember to call your child or text and say, "Hope it goes well. Sorry I can't be there." And that's helping your family relationships.
Yep. Yeah, and the popular press has this meme about working women miss out the most. But it's our sense that it's working parents, particularly when both parents work, right? That tension between work and home. And this is just a prophylactic against that. It's a way to reduce that. It's wellness rather than disease management, right? It's get it squared away in advance. And then you say as well, consult your spouse.
Yeah, right? So there's no point in doing this unless you can consult your spouse or other people with responsibilities in your family. Because if you decide, "I'm going to the Little League game," and then your wife says, "Oh, well, I took the afternoon off as well," and both of you are there, that's great if both of you wanted to be there. But if you're trying to share those duties, because taking
so you'll get more of, when you ask, you'll get more yeses.
Yeah, so because taking an afternoon off is difficult, then you've got to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
If you have an elderly parent and you want that person to be visited every few days, you and your siblings, assuming that they're doing the visiting, need to coordinate which days you're going.
Yep.
And so doing this without starting from those points is pointless.
Yeah, something else that I've considered is we talk about Sunday night. There are many families that I know that no work gets done on Sunday. And so you could easily do this Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you could also do it Friday night. I had a guy tell me once, "Well, Mark, you know I'm married. I don't do anything interesting on Friday night." Right? It was a joke about
marital life,
right? And I said, "Well, I'm single and I don't do anything exciting on Friday night except work, which I really like." And he made a point of saying, "I'm already dreading Sunday night because I know I'm going to have to steal away in order to find time to plan." I said, "Dude, do it on Friday night."
Mm-hmm.
Do it on Friday night. It's just fine, right?
And if your kids are old enough, you can do it with them as well. If they're young, you want to wait till they go to bed. But, you know, once they get to being teenagers and they have activities of their own, you want to include them too.
And this is not family tools, obviously. I'm divorced. And consult your spouse. There is so much to be said for talking in advance for the wellness issue. If there's always tension around a Little League game or a ballet recital, then part of the tension is there's pressure around time, around who's going that day and having to rearrange things. Talking about it in advance makes it a different conversation. I also say something else, whether it's Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday night, or even maybe early Sunday morning when everybody else sleeps in, perhaps at your house, and you're up, or maybe you would like to sleep in, and what you could do is, while everyone else is sleeping, you could take 45 minutes. You could have already talked to your spouse about a couple of things, and then you could figure it out. What I've discovered is having it on my calendar every week, which I don't have to do now because I'm not married, but having it on my calendar, what I did was there was a calendar item, and when I thought of something to do next week, I put it in that calendar item. And I don't think getting things done would love this. I don't think that there are people, I think the high C's who hear this would think it's sloppy, but I saw that appointment with myself Sunday night, that's when I did it, and I learned it from thousands of other people that I knew did it as well, was a bucket. And I would just throw things in the bucket. by Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday, as the week was fading away, I would be throwing things in the bucket for next week. Okay, I forgot that, and the boss is out of town, or oh, okay, I can't do that because of this, but I've got to do that next week. It's got to be done by Tuesday. It just goes in the Sunday thing. And I remember, I can remember 1,000 times in my life, opening up my Palm Trio 650 or something like that, and typing a thing in that bucket saying, you got to remember to do this next week. And if I didn't capture it on Thursday, for me anyway, Friday and Saturday and Sunday made it less likely. I mean, my decaying memory,
we
talk about this at conferences, that my decaying memory was such that it may not get in the bucket on Sunday night. And then it would die. I would forget about it. And then I'd be 2 weeks behind, and that'd be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so we put the family on the calendar. You've consulted your spouse, and hopefully you've heard the allusion there, folks, that consult your spouse about when you can do this. Think about your family's schedule. You could do it as early as Friday night if you wanted to. You could even do it Thursday night if you wanted to, although I think that's probably...
I mean, you could do it midweek, it really depends on the rhythm of your life.
Yeah. The Sunday night planning jives well with Drucker's admonition not to have meetings on Monday morning, because it gives us a chance, all of us, to hit the ground and dead run and stay fast all morning, because meetings slow things down. Yeah. Okay, then you say, then add your big balls.
Yeah, which is the manager tools nomenclature? That's the word.
Nomenclature? No. Nomenclature?
That's the word.
Or put differently, the jiggling koan?
Yes, exactly.
Meme? Yes.
So we call your big yearly type goals, big balls, and your smaller tasks are small balls, and you have to fit them into your space.
A big ball wouldn't necessarily be yearly, but there are the key responsibilities that you hold. We would say that if, in the juggling koan analogy, if you have 20 balls in your box that you're juggling, and let's say five of them are big or really distinctively important to the organization, and the other 15 are smaller, they're important, you have to do them, but they're not critical. We would say that the big balls are glass. In other words, if you're juggling all these balls and you drop a glass ball, it breaks, and that's dangerous. If you drop a small ball, it's rubber. If you can drop a ball and you don't get in trouble, it's probably not a big ball. But if you're responsible for monthly sales and you miss your sales number is a big, that's a glass ball,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So the glass balls are the big balls, the ones you spend the most time on, assuming you've correctly analyzed what is most important for your role to the organization. Those are the big balls.
And those are not necessarily the things that are being shouted about the loudest or the fires that are burning brightly.
In fact, I would argue just the opposite. Mm-hmm. The reason manager tools and career tools have seen so far is we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? I mean, I just mentioned getting things done. This is genius. And now I'm thinking of Stephen Covey and urgent and not urgent and important and not important. And I think it's quadrant two. I always forget. It's a 2x2 matrix. But what you want is important and not urgent. And what most people spend time on are urgent. It's either not important or important. But yeah, and that goes to that whole meme of I want to do a C priority thing because it's easy to do. And it's a bit like I'm hungry and so I'll just put something sweet in my mouth. And it doesn't really sustain you, but it takes away the hunger a little bit. And then you're hungry again in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. And then all you're doing is sucking on sugar all day. Same thing with deliverables. There are too many people who say, I'll get the urgent done because I'm going to get in trouble if the urgent's not done. Mm-hmm. But what happens is you spend so much time on the urgent stuff, you never get the important stuff. And then the important stuff becomes urgent. And important stuff that's urgent, probably you don't have the time to do the things you need to do, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So we put the important things first on there.
Yeah, and you just mentioned getting things done, and getting things done says not to put tasks on calendars.
We just got a question about this. Did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
A licensee just asked. It was really good. He said, okay, getting things done says don't schedule things except those things that have to be done that day.
At a certain time.
And then Drucker, what was it? He contrasted with Drucker. I can't remember, with effective executive.
That you put part time on your calendar to do your big balls.
Yes, yes. And our belief is, well, you put time on your calendar to do the big balls, and getting things done tells you what the next action is in that thing.
Yeah.
And your GTD analysis says, here are the next few things I have to do. And now I have time on my calendar to do those things. And that's the problem. People don't have time on their calendar. People say they're meetinged out. Well, if you put time on your calendar, I'm not talking 8 hours or 10, 12, 15 hours a week, guys. This is not a blocking exercise, but putting 5 to 6 hours on your calendar, maybe 7 hours on your calendar a week, And I'm not talking 3 hours at a time, because that looks like a red flag to people, because that essentially kills a morning or an afternoon, mm-hmm. which is hard to do in a modern big organization.
And you can't concentrate for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah, you can.
Anyway.
90 minutes at the most, mm-hmm. and I would say for some people...
It's an hour.
And the people who act like ADHD is a big plus, or the people who say only people with Asperger's can really be great at technical stuff. I find that really frustrating at times. I would say 45 minutes is certainly appropriate. And a 45-minute window that you have down for planning X or some side of title that tells you what it is and gives you some defensibility in the calendar wars is definitely the way to go. And you, again, you don't need big time. You don't need 4 15-minute blocks in one day, other than maybe for email. And if you'll put that time on there and fill it up with tasks, you'll discover that by the mile it's a trial, by the yard it's hard, and by the inch it's a cinch. I can't believe I just said that.
But it's true. So if you find that when you're trying to put your big balls onto the calendar, as we've just described, that you have no space because you're already booked with meetings, at least knowing that Sunday night helps you go into work on Monday morning with the kind of negotiation that you want to make with people.
Yeah.
Should there be a reason to?
Yeah, but there's another solution to that. The moment you get into that situation, you're planning too short. The urgencies of the world are filling up your calendar, when in fact what you should be doing is saying, okay, I lost this week, I don't have it. And some of you are going to do this. You're going to listen to this cast and you're going to think, I'm going to start doing this Sunday night. I've realized now other people do that Sunday night, and I come into work Monday morning and sit down and go, okay, what am I going to get done? And if you want to get more proactive, this is what a lot of people are doing. And if you do this and you look at your calendar and go, well, I'm kind of screwed here because my week's full, do what we recommend on one-on-ones for managers.
Yeah.
Plan 3 weeks out. Say, okay, this week I'm done. And look, if you've been a professional for 3 or 4 or 5 years, 3 more weeks of you doing it inefficiently is not going to kill anybody, right? But the light bulb will have gone off, and you'll never go back to a time where you don't do some Sunday night planning and where you don't say, I'm going to have time on my calendar. Now, again, don't overdo it. Don't suddenly block out. We're not talking about blocking out time. We're talking about scheduling time to get things done. It's simple. Look 3 weeks from now, and then suddenly people will be discovering that you already have the important things on your calendar. And of course, if you're a manager, some of those are one-on-ones as well.
And if you do 45 minutes, if you had 5 big balls and you did 45 minutes in the morning and afternoon for each of those, that's 90 minutes a week on your biggest tasks. And I bet nobody's putting 90 minutes a week on their biggest task right now because they're letting other stuff fill up.
I would think, though, that probably 80% of the people who heard what you just said would go, no, I can't do that. They would just immediately go, 45 minutes in the morning and in the afternoon every single day? No, I couldn't do that. You know, it's too much. And yet, you absolutely can if you'll give yourself 3 weeks window, 3 weeks, you know, planning in advance. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's 30 minutes in the morning and in the afternoon. And maybe you discover that if you look at your calendar for the previous 6 months, you'll discover when people schedule meetings. And I'm not suggesting that you're not booked on certain days, but there are days that are more heavily booked and days that are not. And there are days where your half hour or your 45 minutes is going to be kicked around a little bit. But remember the rule about calendaring. The point of putting things on your calendar is it's okay to move them, but not having them on their calendar when you get urgentized all day, that stuff that's not on your calendar will never rise to the level of getting done. If it's on your calendar, you can move it, and it's a reminder. That's why executives say my calendar is a puzzle, because the important things are on there, and they're always moving them around. But they're not just letting stuff fill up. They're saying, I have to get this stuff down. This is my calendar. Yeah.
It's like one of those toys that kids have that's sort of a piece of square plastic, and it has plastic tiles in it, and it makes a picture, but there's one square that's empty.
Oh, yeah, the 4x4 with only 50, 4 across by 4 down.
Yeah, but there's only 15 tiles.
There's only 15 tiles.
You have to move them around.
That's exactly
to make the picture.
What it is.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, and the tiles don't change.
No.
If your job doesn't change, the tiles don't change.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's also the step you said about considered if what you have planned is still actually needed.
Yeah. So a lot of us end up with tasks on our calendars or tasks on our task list or things on our calendars which are overcome by events.
OBE.
Especially in fast moving companies.
In the last 4 conferences, I've used the phrase OBE, and somebody has come up to me and said, Mark, you keep saying OBE. I said, oh, I'm sorry, overcome by events.
Yeah. So somebody told me recently that they were in a reorganization. Their department was going, division was going through a reorganization, and that reorganization was interrupted by another reorganization of the bigger space that they were in. So clearly some of the stuff that he had planned was overcome
Moot.
By.
Mooted.
Yeah, all that stuff you were doing for the first reorganization, out the window.
Yeah. What kind of questions should we be asking ourselves? What you're saying is Sunday night, we're looking at our calendar for the entire week and we're asking ourselves what?
Is this action or meeting still required? Is it mine or should it be allocated to someone else? If a meeting or an action is required, have I got time on my calendar to do it or to prepare for it?
Okay, good.
And can this action or meeting be accomplished another quicker, more simpler way? Because a lot of the time when you start, when you think you first get a task, you think, okay, well, I'm going to have to do this. But by the time it's percolated a bit and, you know, a week's gone by and now you've got to do it, you think, oh, well, I can just do this and it'll be much faster.
Okay, good. And the last thing is write a high-level to-do list.
Yeah, so once you've got a really good idea of what's on your plate for the week, you can start writing or typing a to-do list. And everybody needs to have an action or a to-do list that is not your inbox in your email.
Yeah, that's interesting. Say that again.
It's not your inbox in your email.
No, the part before that.
Oh,
everybody has to have an action or to-do list.
Yes.
That's not your inbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are people who start, I think plenty of people who started their careers, became professionals after email existed. They see their email as their inbox because it's called inbox. And they don't realize that people used to have inboxes. And if you're not a paper processor where they bring you files and put them in your inbox, people really don't have inboxes, physical inboxes, the way they used to. Mm-hmm. You used to be able to walk by a desk at organizations, and I'm sure that this make the young people listening think I'm old, and you could tell what kind of day somebody was having by what they're inbox,
pending outbox.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're an executive, they were wooden, and if you weren't, they were plastic or metal, and And you've got to figure out what I've got to do, and you've got to start apportioning it through the week.
Yeah.
And that's where getting things done jives with this in terms
of,
I'm not going to do that till Thursday. I'm just not. I know it needs to be done. I'm going to do it on Thursday. And too many people think, oh, I've got 85 things to do. Well, yeah. And you should be spreading them out over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, however many. And if it's something that you want to do on Thursday, you put it on Thursday and then you get it out of your head.
Yeah.
The idea of carrying around your inbox, carrying around your to-do list in your head is just wasteful because... Well, the analogy I have is the Harry Potter analogy, which, of course, as a British person, you've never seen or read, is the pensieve, which is they put their wand to their head and a stream of memories comes out and they put it in this bowl of liquid and it stores the memory. And I see the to-do list and the action list as a pensieve where I take the stuff out of my head and I don't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. I know it's there. I know I have to do it. But I'm only thinking about the thing I'm going to do rather than about the list of everything else. I cannot think about the thing I'm doing and the list. And if the list is crashing constantly, my consciousness, there's a bunch of things you have to do and you can't put it in the pensieve. You can't put it on a list and say, I'm going to forget about it. Then you end up being ineffective at all the stuff. And then the list just basically rules your life.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of methods for list keeping and action task listing.
Yeah.
You can, GTD, there's Mark Foster, there's,
I've not heard of Mark Foster.
Mark Foster, he's a British guy who has actually several different methods.
Does he read Harry Potter?
I'm not sure, I didn't ask him.
And
you can have just work task, or you can have work and personal tasks. If you need to call the doctor and he is only working office hours, when you'll be working, then put it on your work list so you don't forget to call before they close. I mean, I have a handwritten list. I'm like Luddite. But I put on the list all the actions I need to take during the blocked off times, or you can do it like you do and put the list in the calendar item,
or
you can put it on OmniFocus like Mike does.
Right.
And then if there's a task that you have to do on a recurring basis, like on Monday, I always have to run this report or something, then you can type that list and print it out and put it somewhere, or you can put it on your calendar as a recurring item. But you've got to be keeping a track of all the tasks. And then the other thing to do is review your email list. Review your emails and make sure there's no tasks in there.
Yeah.
And that way you can move the email to storage, and that's how you get to inbox zero.
Inbox zero, which is pretty heavenly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's it.
Yeah, should I sum up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so put your family on your calendar first, consult your spouse, then add your big balls, consider if what's planned is needed, and write a high-level to-do list.
I'm amazed that it's taken us this long to have a cast about Sunday night planning. And I know there are people who are like, oh, that's how people come to work Monday and know what they're doing. And it may take you 45 minutes in the beginning. You may get better at it, may take 30. And you may get to the point where you can get it done in 15. And you don't have to do it Sunday night.
No.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Another exciting week concluded with Career Tools. Come back next week. See you then.